Testing. Hello, and welcome to Blue Mind ASMR, your personal relaxation station. I am your host, Blue Skies, here with a special episode for Black History Month. Black History Month is so important. I think it's just a U.S. thing, but even if you're listening outside the U.S., I think you'll still find this interesting. And I'm mostly going to be talking about American Black history, just because that's where this is. Yeah, that's where this month is celebrated every February. I am going to be talking about actual history, but I want to start off with saying one of the most important things for Black History Month and every month is that especially if you are a non-Black person, especially if you are a white person, and you see racism happening around you, to say something, as long as it's pretty safe to say something. Speak up and say, no, this is not okay. That's racist. That's rude. This we don't do that kind of stuff here. We don't say that kind of thing here. It's just really important to do that and to stop racism in its tracks. And if you catch yourself doing something racist or thinking something racist, it's also important to just acknowledge that thought and acknowledge, like, you were brought up in a racist world and our brains get poisoned with these thoughts. So just acknowledge it. Don't be afraid to just say, I'm sorry, that was a racist thought, or that was a racist thing to say, or that, you know, that was just rude. Interrogate, you know, why am I doing this? Is it something that needed to be said or done? Probably not. So I think that's just really important, is to be like, to not get all up in arms about it. To just be like, you know what? Yeah, that was racist. Yikes. Yikes. Let me not do that again. And, you know, especially if a Black person comes to you and tells you, like, hey, that was pretty racist. Just be like, ooh, just take a deep breath and be like, oh my gosh, thanks for telling me. I'm so sorry. I'm not going to do that again. Thank you so much for telling me. So, yes, keep all that in mind. It's extremely important for a better future for us all. But yes, speaking of racism, there's this great article that came out for Black History Month. Articles like these come out every month, so I'll link this one. I mean, every Black History Month. I'll link this one in the show notes so that you can click on it. But it's an article titled "Stop Asking People of Color to Explain Racism. Pick up one of these books instead." And I think if you're a book person, this is a really good idea. So the first recommendation on this article is a book called I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. And it's by Austin Channing Brown. And I have not read that one. I don't think I've read many of these. Second book recommended is called White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. I think that's probably a really important topic to cover. I think that's even more reason if you're a white person to try not to embody white fragility, try to get better at talking about racism. Because it's such, like I said, it's important for us all to work on this together for a better world, a better future. I think I've heard of this one before, How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. So yeah, check out the link that I'm gonna leave in the show notes, and you can see all these books for yourself. A lot of them are just about racism. I see, as I'm scrolling through, not necessarily anti-black racism, but other types of racism too. So I think it's probably a good list for understanding racism in general. So for Black History Month, I feel like people mostly talk about Martin Luther King Jr., and Martin Luther King Jr. is absolutely amazing. But I think it's important, and you know, we talk about Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks is one of the most amazing people to ever live, and we don't tell her whole story. Same with Martin Luther King Jr. But I think for Black History Month, it's really important to talk about lots, like a diverse range of Black people from history, and to really understand. And that's why I really love this article called Black History Month Includes Black Queer History Too, because it does. Black LGBTQ people should absolutely must be included. Like, for example, Marsha P. Johnson was a Black trans woman living in New York, you know, not a long time ago, but a good 50 years ago, maybe even 60 years ago. And she did a lot for the trans community and, like, activism and finding housing for trans folks. She was a Black trans woman, and yeah, it's so important to remember her and people like her who have gone unnoticed for so long, but who did so much for Black people, especially the most marginalized of Black people, being Black trans folks, Black women, Black trans women. So here's some people you may not have known were part of the LGBTQ community: James Baldwin, Langston Hughes, Josephine Baker, and Bessie Smith. Pretty sweet. And there's so many more people. I'm going to be talking about them throughout this episode. Oh yes, so here's another wonderful article that I will post a link to. It's titled, If We Knew Trans History, We'd Thank Black Trans Women. And Black trans women are so important to the movement, to multiple movements, obviously, because they're part of multiple identities. But of course, to Black activism and anti-racist activism. I already talked about Marsha P. Johnson. She may have actually been the first person to fight back against the police during the Stonewall Rebellion. I've heard that a lot, but there have been many interviews, but it is hazy what happened. There are many different accounts, but I would choose to believe Marsha threw the first brick, or whatever they say. Miss Major Griffin Gracie is a Black trans woman who has been an activist for a long time and has done so much. She's a Black trans woman, of course. Oh wow, she was present during the Attica prison uprising. That's amazing. She has an organization called Transgender Gender Variant Intersex Justice Project. That's amazing. Cece McDonald is another person, and she's an activist. She organizes against racism and mass incarceration. She's another Black trans woman. Sounds like her focus is against the prison industrial complex, which is great. Oh, I realize I forgot to mention, I am white, and I know it's like, sometimes I forget you can't see me through your headphones, but yes, this is obviously part of my anti-racist activism. So yes, I feel like it's extremely important for white people to do work like this and really put in the effort. So here's this other article with recommendations for books for kids, for starting to understand racism and how we can be anti-racist. I think that's really awesome. So here's a book for ages 4 through 7. It's called All Are Welcome. I can't see who the author is, but I'm sure you can click on it in the article. There's another book called Lovely by Jess Hong. It's for ages 2+. And another book called We're Different, We're the Same, for ages 2 through 5. So I think that's wonderful. I think it's important to start early because racism does not wait until you're older to get into your brain. I think that's really clear. I think even in Black children, it's really sad because there was a study too. It's a pretty famous study about putting the dolls in front of Black children, and even at a very young age, if they are like given a white doll and a brown doll or a Black doll to choose between, they choose the white doll. And it's not necessarily wrong for a Black child to choose the white doll, but like on an individual level, but when you have so many Black children choosing white dolls, that's a representation of something. Oh, there's this article here. I thought this was a great article, like really well done. It's called, the title is Explaining White Privilege to a Broke White Person. I think that's really, it's really important because a lot of people equate privilege to a lack of suffering. And it's not necessarily true. It's more complicated than that. So I'll link this article too. Okay, so I'm gonna talk more about some of my own favorite people for Black History Month, and some of them have passed away, some of them are still alive. That's just how Black history is. So yes, the founders of Black Lives Matter are actually, I believe, are three Black women, and two of them are queer Black women, might be all three of them are queer Black women. Let me look that up again. Yes, so the co-founders of Black Lives Matter are Patrice Kahn Cullors, Alicia Garza, and Opal Tometi. And they, at least two of them, are queer women. All Black women, of course, which I think is amazing. And we don't talk about that enough because Black Lives Matter is the anti-racist black movement of the century. That is so focused on combating racist police brutality, and it's just been so important and so pivotal. And being age 30 myself, I've gotten to see, you know, kind of the beginning of the movement, and we're in the movement right now for Black Lives Matter. It's always important right now to keep that movement alive. Try to remember every day is a Black Lives Matter day. And also, I believe there's a hashtag that started too, Black Trans Lives Matter. And that is so true as well. There are too many deaths, too many murders, too much racism still happening. And that's why these movements are so important. Like I said, for a better future for us all, but especially for Black people who have not gotten their fair share of happiness and health and well-being. So yes, Black Lives Matter is so important. I believe it started with the murder of Trayvon Martin. I believe so. I might be wrong, but I believe I'm right. So an older movement, I would say, well, in general, the civil rights movement from the 60s was the anti-racist movement that preceded Black Lives Matter. But a group I really want to focus on that is so important was the Black Panthers. And the Black Panthers did so much to protect Black communities against police and racist, you know, white people and the KKK. The Black Panthers did so many other things too, like they ran like a preschool lunch program, or like all these like breakfast and food programs to feed children, Black children who weren't getting to eat proper meals before or during school. So the Black Panthers are just amazing. Oh yeah, they also created, they ran community health clinics for educating people and treating diseases and conditions that were prevalent at the time in their communities. And so the Black Panther Party was founded by Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton in 1966 in Oakland, California. The party was active until 1982. Had chapters in other countries. Wow, I didn't know that. And there were a lot of important women too in the Black Panther Party who were essential to the party's success and everything they did. Kathleen Cleaver is one woman, Erica Huggins, and Angela Davis, who is still alive and still giving talks at universities. And she's a prison abolitionist. She's actually absolutely amazing. If you can look up some of her speeches on YouTube, some of her interviews, I should say. I guess a speech interview. You can give a speech during an interview. But the Black Panther Party was originally called, it's the full name is the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, which I think is really cool. It's to defend against police brutality, just like the modern Black Lives Matter movement. And it is sad that Black folks are still having to protest police brutality. I mean, I feel like that should be over by now, but it's not. So, still has to be fought against. but next on my list is Audre Lorde. Audre Lorde is an amazing lesbian Black woman who has done a lot of writing, a very valuable Black lesbian thinker. Oh, and poet as well. So she has a lot of poetry, and she's very beautiful and important. And speaking of writing, we have some of my favorite Black women authors: Toni Morrison, Octavia Butler, and Maya Angelou. Toni Morrison writes a lot of really important fiction. Octavia Butler writes science fiction. Maya Angelou, I think, is best known for her autobiographies, her memoirs, which, content notice, a lot of the material can be really heavy. Probably all of these writers, I would say, go in knowing the material's probably pretty heavy, because a lot of it is about racism, so just keep that in mind. So someone else I really consider to be important to Black history is Malcolm X. His politics were really radical, so people tend to gloss over him, but I think in the face of racism, radical politics are often necessary. And actually, toward the end of Martin Luther King Jr.'s life, his politics started to change and become more radical, closer to Malcolm X. And of course, we gloss over that as well. But it's really important to read about all this. Malcolm X converted to Islam, which is really cool. So Malcolm X left us his autobiography. But he left no other published writings. He just gave many speeches and interviews. I think he could be considered a philosopher. And I'm sure you can look up his speeches and interviews on YouTube. I mean, I hope you can, or just on the internet in general. If it's not on the internet, it definitely should be. So in recent Black history, Colin Kaepernick is really important. And every other Black person who has knelt during a football game, Black cheerleaders who kneel during football games. I hope it's not just Black cheerleaders and football players. I hope some white people are joining. But I just haven't looked into that. I haven't seen any articles on that. But Colin Kaepernick is such an important figure for modern times and remembering on a national stage that racism still exists. Racism is still alive and well, and we must end it. I think the reason people really don't like him, white people really don't like him, is because he reminds us of uncomfortable truths, truths we would rather not be aware of, that we would rather not sit with and have to deal with. But I think it's so important to be reminded of uncomfortable truths occasionally. So, next important person is Ida B. Wells. Ida Bell Wells Barnett. Was born in 1862. Was a leader in the early civil rights movement. Was one of the founders of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. And you should know that colored people used to be an acceptable term to refer to Black folks, but nowadays Black folks or African American people is more polite. Oh, I love this person, Ella Baker, who was born in 1903 and lived until 1986, is an African-American civil rights activist. it's really, she's just a really cool person. She was a really cool person. I would recommend watching her. There's a documentary about her. I'm not sure where you can find it, but I'll try to link it in the show notes. She mentored so many people in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee who went on to become such important figures in activist spaces like Diane Nash, Stokely Carmichael, Bob Moses, and Rosa Parks, my personal favorite. Oh yes, there's also Michelle Obama, who's of course part of more recent Black history, but I just think we could talk about President Barack Obama, but Michelle Obama has just been such an important figure during his presidency, but also after, as the First Lady. She's just seeing her and the way she moves through the world, the things she has done is so revolutionary. She's done a lot of activism herself, and just the power of seeing a First Lady like her is, and of course a president like President Obama, is so powerful. And along those lines, Ilhan Omar, a congresswoman, a Black congresswoman who is standing up for so many important issues right now. She, I actually don't know which state she represents. Let me check. Oh, okay. She's the U.S. representative for Minnesota. Oh, and it includes all of Minneapolis. That's awesome. She's amazing because she's Muslim, because she's a Black woman, because her politics are so revolutionary, and she has a voice in the House of Representatives. She's honestly one of the most revolutionary voices, I would say, right next to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others. Oh yes, Ayanna Pressley is another congresswoman who is totally revolutionary, and you see her talked about alongside Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar a lot, and Rashida Tlaib. Yes, Ayanna Pressley is another person, another Black woman in the U.S. House of Representatives right now, representing Massachusetts' 7th District, and she's amazing. Her politics are revolutionary, and she's always speaking up for change. She's always a voice for change. Oh yeah, so I wanted to mention some of the younger Black climate activists, because the media talks a lot about Greta Thunberg, but there are so many other young people and young people of color, young Black people doing this work. One of them is Amariana Kopany, who was radicalized by the water quality in Flint, which is terrible. The water is basically poisonous, and I think it's still poisonous, which is sad. There's been a few noises about things being done, but pretty sure it's not. I mean, that the water's still toxic in many parts of Flint. But Isra Hirsi is actually the daughter of Ilhan Omar, who we just talked about. So she's 16 and she is a climate activist, which is so amazing. And yeah, it's worth looking into many climate activists. Here's another, Elsa Mangitsu is another Black woman, Black girl, I should say, climate activist. I'll link this article I'm looking at in the show notes so you can see all these wonderful young people. So going back to Black trans activists for a moment, Laverne Cox is someone so important recently. Just her visibility, she's a Black trans woman, her visibility, her interviews, just being a voice for trans rights has been so important this past decade or 5 years, however long she's been in the spotlight. I want to say it's been the past 5 years, really, because I remember her becoming a thing around that time. I remember people recognizing her more around that time, I should say. So another really important Black trans woman is Janet Mock. I think she's paved the way for so many Black trans folks and just trans folks in general to come out and be even marginally accepted and fight for our rights. And yeah, she has some books. Janet Mock is really, she's worth looking into. She's an amazing woman. She's so, so witty. Wonderful. And this is I think a case where representation, you know, representation isn't always the most important thing, but it is important. And with Laverne Cox and Janet Mock being so visible, they have made a difference. They have made a difference. They have made a difference. And so has India Moore, who is a Black non-binary femme person, and they have, they're the only Black non-binary femme. No, they're not. That's not true. They're not the only one, but they're one of the only ones that I can easily think of. Like, oh yeah, India Moore. And they're a star on the show Pose, which is also great Black history. It models itself after Paris is Burning, which goes into the ballroom scene in, I believe, 1970s, maybe 1980s New York, which is where Black trans and queer people would gather to feel safe and to feel seen. It's a big part of their culture, and it's the roots of modern drag. So when you talk about, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, the roots of that is documented in the movie Paris is Burning, and that's what the show Pose is about. And yeah, the reason we have drag is all thanks to Black trans women. A lot of things is thanks to Black trans women, let's be honest. But speaking of representation, I think there are other people in the spotlight who just seeing them is really important to see. Just such a diversity of people now on shows and movies, and just to help, again, it's all just to help create a better world, a world where Black children choose the Black doll because the Black doll is beautiful. And a world where white children choose the Black doll because they feel like it, because there's nothing in their hearts that says Black is not beautiful. Octavia Spencer is an actress who I've seen come about. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention Laverne Cox is an actress too. But Octavia Spencer, just seeing her represented on, you know, in so many movies lately has been amazing. Black women are hardly ever given the kinds of roles that we've seen recently. Like, historically, it hasn't been like this. Also, just the sensation Beyoncé has become. Beyoncé is great representation, and she is a feminist, and she brings a lot of activist messages to people, especially with her video album, Lemonade. That was, when that hit, that was a sensation, and that that album talks about a lot of political issues. And oh yeah, like her song Formation, that came out before, like, while everyone was campaigning for the 2016 election, and that really hit, like, you know, Formation came out and suddenly people were talking about these issues and bringing up anti-racism and how important it is, which was amazing. I forgot about that until now. Janelle Monáe is someone else I want to talk about. She's so amazing. Or they're so amazing. I don't know if they've come out with their pronouns, but Janelle Monáe, it's been so cool to watch their journey. Like, Janelle Monáe has always been this cool voice for, like, Black sci-fi. They've always been representation for Black people, Black femmes. Their music is so great. And just their most recent album, Dirty Computer, and everything it's about. So Janelle Monáe came out as queer recently. I don't know if they came out as queer or bi or pansexual, but they came out as queer, and then they released this album, Dirty Computer, and it's just all about Black femme queerness, and it's beautiful, beautiful album. One of my favorites. And then Janelle Monáe recently came out as non-binary, at least everyone thinks so. I think they came out as non-binary, but I'm like, oh my god, that's so amazing. We have the non-binaries have Janelle Monáe. And so I'm happy about it, as you can probably tell. But there's so much Black history that it's just, you really would have to dedicate many lifetimes to all of Black history. But I hope this has been an enjoyable and relaxing little intro to Black history as a topic, as a reality, as an important part of history, of all of our histories, and of world history. So even if you're not American, this is important to you because we're all on this same planet. We all, I think it's so important to try to understand each other, especially those of us who have been systematically hurt. But thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a wonderful day, wonderful night, a wonderful sleep, or a wonderful whatever you're about to do. So tune in next time for Blue Mind ASMR. This is Blue Skies signing off.